This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Since trumpets brought down the walls of Jericho, music has been part of the war narrative. And the playlist has gone far beyond the fife and drum corps of the American Revolution. From Scottish bagpipes to Metallica, Aaron Henkin takes us on a short tour through the history of music as a weapon.
The date is September 21st, 1745. You're a British soldier under the command of a confident General Cope in Edinburgh at Dunbar. You've been told to expect an impending clash with an unspecified number of Scottish Jacobite rebels. You can see nothing through the thick and disorienting fog. And suddenly, from nowhere and everywhere at once, your senses are assaulted by a blood-curdling wail, a relentless and unbearable sonic blast that envelops you and your fellow troops from seemingly all directions. Within 15 minutes, you and your fellow soldiers have lost your will to fight. You retreat as fast as your feet will carry you, and the battlefield is cleared. Within the year, the British government has classified the bagpipe as a weapon of war, unilaterally banned possession of the instrument, and declared that pipers can and should be tried in the same legal manner as those who carry conventional weapons. Fast forward 2.5 centuries. It's June 21st, 2004, in Iraq. American troops are conducting a large-scale morning raid in the western city of Ramadi. A line of approaching Humvees kicks up a wall of dust on the flat horizon. The U.S. battalion announces its arrival with the aid of roof-mounted public address speakers. In a military tip of the hat to the Francis Ford Coppola film Apocalypse Now, Iraqis on this morning are greeted with a high-volume assault of Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries. The raid is successful, and now it's a few months later. You're an Iraqi prisoner of war in an unspecified U.S. detention and interrogation facility. The BBC reports that you've been hooded and forced to stand facing a wall for 8 days straight, and that during the course of your interrogation, you've been subjected to high-volume 24-hour doses of the heavy metal band Metallica. U.S. Sergeant Mark Hadsell explains, "These people haven't heard heavy metal before. They can't take it. If you play it for 24 hours, your brain and body functions start to slide. Your train of thought slows down, and your will is broken. That's when we come in and talk to them." Now rewind 11 years and transport yourself to Waco, Texas. You're a Branch Davidian, holed up in the Mount Carmel compound of apocalyptic cult leader David Koresh. A small army of federal agents has surrounded you with 100-watt amplifiers and public address speakers. Through the barricaded doors and boarded-up windows of the compound, you hear an ear-splitting but unidentifiable sound. After what seems like hours, the chanting of Tibetan monks bleeds into a Christmas carol. And then a Muslim prayer call. Then an Alice Cooper song. Then Nancy Sinatra. And all the while, this inscrutable playlist is being peppered with the looped sounds of sirens, babies crying, ticking clocks, dental drills, and telephone busy signals. The prolonged sonic barrage has a palpable effect. Nearby cattle herds are reported to stampede, and one of the Branch Davidians, a young mother, ceases lactating.
You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing.
Ironically, Nancy Sinatra's now infamous song includes the cryptic lyrics, "You keep thinking that you'll never get burned, but I just found me a brand new box of matches." The ultimate and controversial result of the Waco standoff, a fire that left 75 Branch Davidians dead, has since left the world scratching its head and wondering, among other things, about just how and whether we ought to attempt to harness the power of sound as a weapon.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
And that story came to us from Aaron Henkin. For lifelong Oasis fan Stephen Hyden, there is one sound that would have brought him to his knees faster than a speeding bullet not so long ago, the band Blur. He laments the demise of the music rivalry when word of mouth continues. I'm a professional cynic, but my heart's not in it. I'm paying the price of living life at the limit.